Are you guys ready to have some fun?
Yeah!
Okay. First of all, did everyone get a bracelet? If you didn't get a bracelet, anyone didn't get a bracelet that wants one, can raise your hand. You have one person. Sam, Doug, could you guys go run and grab some bracelets? Doug, you had your hands up. You can go get a bracelet for yourself. Shoot! Why did I raise my hand? Just keep your hand up, and they'll be back in a second, and they'll give you a bracelet. It's just a free gift from us. We like to give gifts, and that's the one we could afford. So it's a free bracelet. We are going to be here, like Shannon said, we're going to be here for the next few months, and the reason is because of our daughter's procedure. And if you've ever had a child, dads, you know, you watch your little girl go into the operation room and you're like, ah, God. So we really appreciate your prayers for that. So today is the final series we've been talking about in this church, in our church, about Pentecost and Holy Spirit come. Woo! And I've been experiencing Holy Spirit coming to my life for the last this last year for sure. And we love this. And so we're going to do a Pentecost with an Asian-style flair to it. Is that okay? Because it did come from the Asian area, I think, anyway. So we're going to add that back to it. So we're going to do our experience of Pentecost through Cambodia or through an Asian style. And in Cambodia, the phrase of Cambodia is Kingdom of Wonder. And God has just been wrecking my heart on his wonder. And what does that mean? And I actually gave a message. I created the series that I taught at our church in Cambodia. And it was about the kingdom of God's wonder inside of you, inside of your country, inside your city, inside your family. What does it look like when his kingdom gets inside of you? And that's what we want to share tonight. That's really what Pentecost is to us, is when the kingdom of wonder, God's wonder, is in you. That's when it all starts changing and stuff starts happening. It's good.
Because that's really our passion, is that, you know, when I think about Pentecost, I think about this time where the Holy Spirit fell on the people while they were waiting for him, and they became empowered, not like they were before, but really like transformed, empowered to live life in a different way. And so that's what I see as the kingdom of God, going from like worldly kingdoms to a kingdom that transforms other kingdoms, because it's inside of us.
Yeah. So like in Pentecost, during our worship today, which was great, by the way, I really enjoy getting to sing in English. And we were singing, and I didn't plan this worship set out. In fact, Kent and I, we talked more about the video than we did about the worship songs, I think. But when we were playing, I felt the Holy Spirit, and I was thinking about Pentecost, and the first subject of Pentecost actually happens before the Holy Spirit comes. Jesus gives them a command. He's sitting with the disciples. He died. He rose again. And he's talking with them. And then he goes up into heaven. And the angels come and they say this in Acts 1:4. They said, "And when they gathered together, he commanded them, this is Jesus now talking to them, do not leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift the Father has promised, which you have heard me discuss." Jesus promised and discussed about a comforter to come. The Holy Spirit is who he's talking about. So he's going to come. Now, the Holy Spirit's always been around, right? Like if you know about Jesus and God in the Old Testament, it says the Spirit of God ascended into the waters. He's always been around. But Jesus, sometimes the experience of the Holy Spirit, it will change in different ways for us. Like, I love Bethany, and I met her, and she was beautiful to me, and we dated, right? Yeah, off the market, guys. Mine. Okay, beautiful. But when I got married to her, whole new experiences. That's for another day. And as we get to know the Holy Spirit, just keeping it real, we're in grace, real people, real lives, restored lives. So as we grow in our experiences with the Holy Spirit, it takes us to new adventures and new heights and new ways and new emotions. And it's an incredible adventure. Mm-hmm. And what Jesus is saying is, he's saying, go and wait. wait upon the Lord. And during worship today, I felt like I was saying, yes, that's the thing is it's all about wait. Take that time with God to figure out what he wants and go and wait. And when I think about the wait, the time of waiting, what that looks like, it reminds me of when I'm in Cambodia and I have to learn a new language. And this language is not easy to learn. It's actually pretty complicated. I think I have a picture of it.
Slide?
Yeah. Slides, are we there? Or is it like, okay, there it is. This is like my average day. I wake up in the morning and I say, okay, God, I'm going to be really spiritual and I'm going to go change lives. Nope. I'm going to sit down with my pen and paper and I'm going to study scribbles on pieces of paper all day long. I got to learn how to say brahu, because braha means because.
Yes.
Oh, there you go. I was making sure I said it right. And then I'll be home and I'm like at my house and I'm studying Khmer. And then Bethany comes home and she's like, oh, I just went to this small group and this mom, she learned to trust Jesus for the first time and her husband now is coming to the Lord. And I'm like, oh, that's awesome. And she's like, what did you learn? I said, I learned how to say coconut. And she's like, oh, that's good. That's good. I'm like, yeah. No, not really. But it's the theme that is in my heart is God is saying, wait. You got the word up there? Wait. See, I didn't make this up. This is the Holy Spirit organizing stuff. Yeah, I mean, wait. Not just wait like wait for God, but wait until they see what God's doing inside of you. Mm. Wait until you get these words inside your heart and God's flowing out of you. Waiting doesn't mean I'm sitting down, I'm going to be lazy and wait for someone else to do something. Waiting is with God is he's saying go and wait in Jerusalem. They didn't just go around and sit on their butts and do nothing. They went there and they started fellowshipping. They organized leadership. They developed structure. Waiting does not mean you do nothing. Waiting is a season of preparation of your heart, your mind, and your focus on God. And that's for it is for me right now is I'm waiting. I'm just like waiting on God saying, God, I'm getting vision for what this is going to look like when I know the language. God, I'm waiting on you. And what is it that you are waiting for on God in your life? Maybe you're waiting on God for a ministry that's been on your heart. And you're like, you know, there's a vision and a dream inside of me that I am waiting to get out. Maybe it's a new season in your life. Maybe you're waiting on God for a miracle. You have some sort of event that's happened to you. Maybe you had 3 strokes in the last few weeks and you're going through a time of where you need to wait on God to bring about the miracle in your life for transformation. Whatever it is you're waiting for, that's the season of Pentecost starting. That's where the Holy Spirit says, that's where I want you to go. And Jesus said, I want you to go and wait in that time, not when everything's perfect, but everything as it is. I want you to go and live your lives and wait on me. And so that's what we do. That's what I do every day.
So during this time of, we are all kind of waiting in expectation for the kingdom of God to like take over the world and for Jesus to come and the second coming, and really, like, there's no more tears, and there's no more pain, there's no more heartache. But in the meantime, we're all waiting. And what we see a lot of the time is brokenness and poverty. And if most people, you look at Cambodia, and it's this impoverished, developing nation. But there's another side that we choose to look at, and that's because God has given us his vision for this nation. So I wanted to just briefly give you a little bit glimpse of some of the beauty of the nation of Cambodia, because we could just praise him in what he's made, and we look to the future for what he wants to restore and the lives that he wants to restore. So the beauty of this nation, go ahead and put up Ratanakiri, and this is an area of Cambodia that's forests and mountains and volcanic lakes and waterfalls and elephants, and it's absolutely stunning. We're just gonna go quick through these pictures, and the province of Krachay in Cambodia has these exotic dolphins that are freshwater, and there's nowhere else in the world you'll find dolphins like this, the Irrawaddy dolphin. And then in other provinces like Battambang and compote, you'll find unique flavors that you can't find anywhere else. And everywhere else in the country, they or around the region of that part of the world, they want the fruits and they want the spices and the peppers of these other provinces. And so Cambodia was gifted with this wealth of natural God-made beauty, right? And then even he gave the people an amazing creativity to create architectural designs that are absolutely mind-blowing. But we look at the designs and all we can do is praise God because he was the one who gave the creativity for those things to come about.
Mm. So it's this process of seeing God on the outside become God who comes to the inside. And the Pentecost is here is these people, they're waiting for God and they're serving him and they're looking for God on the outside in their church, right? I look at you guys and I see Jesus in you. I see God in our church in Grace. I see God in our church in Cambodia and the different churches that we're partnered with. I see Jesus doing awesome things all around the world. And I want to be a part of it. So, and even when you look at creation, you can see. You guys see the beauty of God in that? Just amazing. Amazing.
Go to the next slide.
And it says in 1 John 4:16, and we have come to know and believe the love that God has for us. God is love. Whoever abides in love abides in God and God in him. What you see is this like inside out kind of thing happening where I can see God outside of me. I can see God in me. And this abiding starts to happen. Mm-hmm. And I imagine this happening in Jerusalem while they're waiting for the Holy Spirit. Mm-hmm. I imagine this season of waiting is like, I can start to see God in you. You can start to see God in me. And this feeling of the Holy Spirit, this excitement for what's God going to do next is starting to happen mm-hmm. in our lives. Mm-hmm. And this is the excitement that is a part of our church that I feel is growing in Grace Vineyard right now. It's an excitement of, it's not all about just one person named Ron doing all the work. It's now about all of us experiencing the Holy Spirit and God's resonating that in our hearts.
Yes.
In our minds, we're getting transformed. We're realizing, hey, I'm focusing on God. I'm waiting on God. And God's going to do great things. You just wait and see what God's going to do. It's going to be really good. It's going to be really good. Come on.
Amen.
That's going to be good. What God does is so amazing. He is just never late, except for like when I am impatient. Then he's then he's late. And so, just keeping it real. No, God is never late. He's not always the time I want, but he's never late. And what I realize is when I see this verse and when I see the creation of God and I see the church and I see us waiting on God, this resounding theme echoes in my heart when I'm in Cambodia. Because I see Buddhist temples everywhere,
mm-hmm.
but I don't see the Buddhist temples. What I see is I see lives looking for truth.
Yeah.
When I see the poor kids, I don't see poor kids anymore. I see kids that are going to be future leaders of mm-hmm. their country. Because this resounding theme echoes. I see it around me, and it starts to echo my heart. Mm-hmm. And it's that Cambodia belongs to Jesus.
Amen.
It's Jesus' town now. It's not my town. It's not
That's
your
right.
town. It belongs to Jesus.
That's right.
Oceanside belongs to Jesus.
That's right.
America belongs to Jesus. Our country belongs to everything. It all belongs to him. And it's that passion of saying, okay, God, I see you around me. I see you in the people around me. And I want to take it from the outside to the inside. I want Pentecost. I want the Holy Spirit to come in new ways, in deeper ways. Because I want to start dreaming big with God. And as they're waiting in Jerusalem, the Pentecost is happening. Or not Pentecost, sorry. The festivals are happening. And it's a time where they're waiting. Now, I want to kind of paint a picture of what it looks like to wait here. And, you know, because again, waiting can look like it's peaceful and it's calm and everything's okay. In Khmer culture, in Cambodia, it had years of creativity and good times. And it was actually, they were known as the hippies. Is anyone a hippie here? Yeah, a few of you hippies. I have a video I'd like to show you of the hippie culture of Cambodia. Do you have the video? Awesome. Can we turn off the lights and show it? You guys want to see the video?
Yeah.
All right, they want to see it. Told you they'd want to see it.
Yeah.
And... You know you wanna.
There is a saying in Cambodia, music is the soul of a nation.
ពេញគេហៅថាគ្រឿងជាក្រុមអលង្ការមួយនៅអាស៊ីភាគនេះពេញជាកន្លែងប្រជុំជនដែលក្រុមភ្លេងច្រើនច្រើនក្រុមមកពីខេត្តអីមកជួបជុំគ្នាហ្នឹង
ឯងគេគឺជាមូសិកអ្នកសំដៅអស់ជាទូទាំងសពមូសិកបុរាណជាមួយ
I was not a shy kid, you know. I was like, just give me the music, I'll dance.
Buat ni asma yang agak buat hippie.
This is so cool, it's my generation. I was ready for more, and all of a sudden, it was all gone.
So, when we're waiting for God, we live in our lives, we're having fun, and then suddenly there's problems, right? There's stuff that happens that we don't expect.
Yeah.
In Jerusalem, Rome occupied this land. God told them to go and wait in Jerusalem. Rome was not a friendly country to them. He was hurting them, and it was harsh on them. Much like what happened in Cambodia, they were living their lives, having a good time, enjoying their music and creativity. I mean, they were more developed then than they are now in many ways. Mm-hmm. Because of what happened is after these bombs were dropped, the Khmer Rouge came in 1975, the bombs were dropped. And then after that, they were in turmoil, and it led to the Khmer Rouge, which then there was men who were killing, children who were killing each other, and this horrible tragedy of they destroyed all education. They took away teachers. If you spoke two languages, if you wore glasses, they thought you must be smart because you know how to read, and they would take all that away. And this is a very similar situation, I imagine, as what it would be like where Jesus told them to go and wait. I mean, can you imagine God saying, okay, you're in a country controlled by Rome, your children are being taken away from people in that country, there's all this stuff going on. In fact, even in the book of Acts 1:4, they kept asking Jesus, well, what about the new Israel that's going to come? And you know what Jesus says? Go and wait. Well, what about this? He's like, go and wait, and you're going to be my disciples. Just wait, you're going to be witnesses. Go and wait in these places that it's not perfect. In fact, I think you can't be a peacemaker unless there's some sort of war going on that you're in.
Mm-hmm.
It's really not possible to bring that the kingdom of God into places where it's all everything's okay and we're all peace, love, and no war unless there's some sort of fight going on.
Mm-hmm.
And Jesus calls us to go wait into situations like this. So we walk into this country aware, hey, we're waiting on God. In a place that's not so peaceful. Maybe you are not, maybe your life right now has some war going on. Maybe you have some battles in your families, in your personal life. God calls us into those moments to wait on Him, to say, go and wait, and you will see, you will be my witnesses. It's gonna transform outside and inside of your life. Is it good? Can I track in with it?
So this war happened in the 70s. It's not currently going on.
No, sorry, yes.
It's over, thank goodness. And but it really impacted the country, and we still feel the effects very heavily of the war in the 70s today,
yeah.
Because of the impact it had on the educated class. And because of that, we still have a lot of illiteracy. And just lack of understanding, lack of knowledge, lack of access to knowledge. And that's one of the ways we still see the effects of the war. And that's why we kind of have to talk about the war when we talk about Cambodia.
Yeah. And the way it relates is that in our lives, there's a kingdom of this world,
mm-hmm.
that is at war with God. It doesn't like, darkness does not like the light.
Yeah.
But God calls us to be a kingdom within a kingdom. He calls us to transform a culture inside of the culture. See, what they were looking for in Acts 1, the disciples of Jesus before he went to heaven, is they were looking for Jesus to change the outside, and then later on the inside would change.
Right.
But what Jesus says is, no. I want you to go and wait and get the Holy Spirit on the inside. And then I want to transform the kingdom of this world by the kingdom inside of it.
Mm-hmm.
I want the kingdom of God to shine light. That's what he talks about, like the light of God is, it goes into dark places and it shines from inside of it and brings its light out to the outside. And God calls us to be a kingdom that transforms a culture within the culture, or a kingdom within the kingdom.
Mm-hmm.
And so when we are in Cambodia, we often talk about this is the kingdom within the kingdom. See, when you look at these little kids here, I think I have a picture of these little kids. These are some of the families that we work with. We on our average Sunday morning, our Sunday services is we have around 300 little kids that come to our church. And then on Saturday night, we have around 300 to 400 teenagers that come. And then on Sunday night, we do adults barang, which means French. Foreigners and for Khmer adults, and we're usually around like 150 for that. And what we do on these nights is we call them celebrations. They're big parties for Jesus, and we celebrate God within this culture of poverty, no education, and all this. Because what we say is once you get Jesus inside you, it grows to the outside, and we believe families will transform. So what we see is not poor little kids waiting for food. What we see is pictures of kids like this, worshiping God, getting on their knees, saying, I want the Holy Spirit inside me, mm-hmm. encountering the Holy Spirit.
Mm-hmm.
We see this with hundreds of kids each week, wanting more of the Holy Spirit, wanting more of God. And it's so crazy how God led me into this, because, you know, God's so crazy. Crazy cool. So I showed up and I was really focused on saying, okay, I'm just going to study Khmer for the first few years because it's so hard to learn. It's the largest alphabet in the world. I mean, and it doesn't make any sense. I don't get it. And so I told God, I said, God, I'm going to just study this language until you lead something else to me. And as I went there, I felt the Holy Spirit growing in me, saying, I got something more for you than just that. That's good, but there's something more for you than just that. And as I began to open my heart up to God, he led me to this church that was a small church at the time. And I just felt connected to them, and I couldn't explain it. And the pastor said, hey, will you oversee all the discipleship of the church? And at the time, I thought, yeah, sure, I can do that while I'm studying Khmer. That's easy enough. Discipleship, right? Easy? No. But I thought, you know, it's like at the time it was like maybe like 100 people. And I thought, yeah, I can organize small groups. I can develop courses to help them learn about Jesus for the first time. And I just took it one step at a time. In the course of this last year, our church went from that to 800 people. And so now I have all these small groups, and they're like, hey, we want to know more about God. And they're reading the Bible for the first time, so I'm making courses that teach them about the book of James and Ruth. And I'm like, okay, just read it and ask good questions. That's a good start, right? And so they're doing things like that, and we're making Discover courses that help them understand God's voice, that teach about the Holy Spirit, relationships, and I should know
salt and light.
Salt and light, yes, salt and light. Teach them how to be salt and light to this world. And these people, they show up like, and they're just loving it. And I turn over the whole thing to them. When they start to come and I see that they're growing in the relationship with God, I turn over the whole thing to them and I say, okay, Wednesday night, it's all for you, whatever you want to do. As long as it focuses on Jesus, I'm okay with it. And they are just on their knees worshiping God, going for the Holy Spirit. And it's really fun. It's really exciting. So we are loving it. The thing is because I can't teach in Khmer. I can't speak Cambodian very well. I mean, I can tick. I can speak a little bit, but I can't teach. So I have to teach the teacher. I have to teach the person how to teach the class. So it's not just me showing up saying, "Hey, I'm the leader doing this." I'm empowering them to do it. So I don't even get to be the guy on stage like this. This is really fun, by the way. Like, I don't get to be this guy. Like, I don't get, I'm loving it right now. But I don't get, I'm usually the guy who's sitting in the back taking notes saying, okay, they need to work on this, trying to learn the language. And all week long, I'm teaching them about the message. I'm teaching one person, hey, this is what you need to know. This is what it's about, going deep into their heart and their mind and making sure they understand it, because when they get on stage, they're going to have to know it. And that's usually what I do. And every week, I do that with about four or five messages, four or five different messages every week I'm working on with different people. Hey, this is what you need to know, and this is how you need to know it, empowering them for the first time to get up and teach about Jesus. So fun. You guys, come for a visit. It's a great time. And that's what we do. And what I see is this, so from now on, in 2 Corinthians 5:16, it says this. So from now on, regard no one from a worldly point of view, meaning don't just look at people from the outside. Though once we regarded Christ in this way, we do so no longer. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, the new creation has come. The old is gone. The new is here. Don't look things just on the outside. Look them in the inside. What is God doing inside? What does the Holy Spirit want to do inside of this person in this life? What is he wanting to do to transform lives around us? Because faith or fear turns into faith. When there is a fear you have in your life, it can turn into faith. And when we are looking at Christ and saying, okay, I'm a new creation, the old is gone, we're giving up our fears from the past. Saying, okay, I want something new from you, God. I'm going to step out in this new thing. You know, when I was preparing my messages, I don't know, like, if this is going to relate to their culture. You know, I barely can relate to my wife sometimes because, like, guys and girls were, like, not always copacetic. We're not always the same. And so I'm like, I'm going to teach these people in a different language, from a different culture, different poverty scale about Jesus. And I feel so insecure, but I just say, you know what, I put those fears aside, and I'm going to take my fear, and I'm going to turn it into faith. I'm going to trust God with this. And so that's what I do. And in the Bible, there's a guy named Peter. And in Pentecost, Peter was this guy that stood up and said, and when the Holy Spirit broke out, people are speaking in tongues, and he gets up in front of 3,000 people, and he's sharing this amazing message. But let's look at Peter before that day. Let's look at Peter the day that Jesus is dying. Peter is a guy that sneaks into a room of people, and he's afraid. And he denies Jesus 3 times. And not just to, like, big guys. I think one of them was, like, quietly to a girl or a kid that was like saying, like, don't you know Jesus? And he's like, no. And here's a guy that went from this cowardly state to a guy now that's been transformed and is in front of 3,000 people. And it's one of those awkward moments where, like, nobody's organized anything and people are speaking different languages and all sorts of different tongues. And Peter is standing in front of them teaching. And he just takes the control and he says, okay, I'm going to share something. What would change a guy from being this coward to being this hero? From the fear to the faith. What changed it?
Holy Spirit.
Ooh. The waiting said, okay, I'm going to go and I'm going to wait for the Holy Spirit. And in that time, the Holy Spirit fills him up and he gets that boldness and empowering. Mm-hmm. And to me, that is the sign, the seal of the Holy Spirit. Is suddenly you are empowered and you're doing stuff you never imagined before. You're stepping out in ways you couldn't imagine yourself stepping out before. And that's when I see Pentecost in my life and in people around me. That's when I see the Holy Spirit in amazing ways, is when I'm stepping out in that new adventure with God. When suddenly I'm at work, because I used to have a job here in America where my coworker doesn't know Jesus and I do. And I know I could say something to them, but they may not like me anymore, and I still have to work with them tomorrow. You know that feeling? Like, I got to look at them tomorrow. And it's scary, because it's like, I could say something, but I could blow it, and then tomorrow is going to be a horrible day. But it's that fear, and I pray, and I wait for the Holy Spirit, and it fills me up, and I say, you know what? I'm going to go for it. And I say, hey, can I pray for you? And now you might think, well, that was kind of weak. But in my heart, I'm like, yeah, I'm praying for him. Yeah, and I do it. And it's like this amazing thing happens. And they look at me and they're like, what did you say? And I go, can I pray for you? Yeah, yeah, I didn't know you prayed. I do. And I pray for them. And then later on, I found out a year later, this actually happened in one of my coworkers when I was a youth pastor here. I worked in San Diego at a school. And I felt that, and I prayed for one of my coworkers, and she shared with me a year later, Eddie, like, that moment you prayed for me, I was debating whether or not I should become a Christian. And I had no idea, and she said, I just went to church for the first time. Another friend led her there, and she said, I just was thinking about it. And when you said that moment, it did. And it all came from that time of saying, okay, God, what do you want me to do? That fear turning to faith.
Yeah.
The fear transforms into faith with the Holy Spirit and the Pentecost. You can clap. It's okay. It does that because it's all God's so good. What do we see with Peter when he transforms from fear to faith? I mean, a guy who's scared, Jesus dying, his best friend dying on the cross, says, do you know him? And Peter says, no. He says, no. And then he goes to the next person. I swear I don't know him. I swear I don't know him. And now here's a guy. He stands in front of thousands of people. From all around the world, I mean, all around Jerusalem, in different languages, different cultures. I mean, this is intimidating to me. To get up in front of a bunch of different cultures, he stands up and he says this. He says, therefore, let all Israel be assured of this. God made this Jesus, whom you crucified, both Lord and Messiah. So Peter says, you killed Jesus. He's God. I mean, that's like fear to faith, right? That's the boldness. But God does that in us. Mm. And people, when they get confronted by truth and the Holy Spirit's moving, you can be a little offensive. Because you call out sin, it's not polite. It's not sometimes nice. You know, it's not always the encouraging word. Now, I'm not saying walk around and be like you're going to hell. No, that's not our message, right? Our message is of life and hope in Christ. But sometimes we got to call out the darkness to see the light. Mm. We got to let people know, hey, this is where we went wrong. And Peter is saying, I like the beginning of his message. He says, this is going to go out to your sons and your daughters, and they'll see visions and dream dreams. You know that part? Oh, I love that part because it's for everyone in the world. Mm-hmm. And we see it, whatever country I go to, if I've been to Africa, Asia, South America, Europe, America, wherever I go, I see this happening. And you guys and my friends, I see some of you guys, you've traveled quite a bit. We see it, right? All around the world, we see God moving, doing amazing things. This word that Peter stepped out that took from fear to faith is like spreading like fire around the world for generation and generation. We're seeing awesome things God is doing. And I love it. I love it, and I can't wait to see more of it. And when I see this in our church happening, in our church, Grace Vineyard Church, this church, I see fear of like what's the unknown turning to faith and what God's going to do inside of us as the Holy Spirit is filling us up. So you're all like Peter. You might be a little scared. You might even like be scared of girls, little girls or little kids, like Peter might have been. But don't worry. God will fill you up. As you wait on him, he's got something for you. You'll see. So the question is what do you want your country to look like? I asked this to the Cambodians. This is the question I said. What do you want your country? What do you want for your country? What do you want it to look like? And they said, oh, I want, one of them said, we want better education. Another one said, we want more of Jesus. And they said different things. And I said, and so we made a list of all these different things saying, what do you want more of? And they said, I want this, and I want this, and I want this. And I said, do you know, they listed everything they could think of. We want prosperity. We want more education. We want more of God in our country. And they listed all these things. And I said, you know what Jesus says about this? You know what he says to you when you think of these things and you dream like this? He says, seek, and you will find. Knock, and the door will be open. If anyone asks, it will be given to them. God's heart is for us to dream big with him and to see like what is his passions and his desires for our country and then to begin to ask God for those things and then see those things come to us. Question is what do you want for Oceanside? What do you want for your country? What do you want for this place, in your home family? What do you want in your family, in your friends, in your workplace? What do you want? Because God is saying, seek and you'll find. Knock and it'll be open.
So I have had this burning desire, and I shared it with you guys before I left, that Cambodia would have an opportunity to hear the knowledge of the glory of God. Because there's so much just not knowing, never hearing the gospel, never hearing the name of Jesus. And it's still very prevalent out in the villages and the areas where we're serving. And that was what was burning on my heart when we went back. And so I wasn't really sure what my vision was going to look like, but I was asking God, God, what do you want for this country? What do you want? And what does it look like that a nation gets to hear about you and gets the opportunity to make a decision to follow you? And it's really just been this kind of even like in Acts, how they met together and they were just fellowshipping and community and building the body of Christ in little churches. And so I'm like, all right, so I guess small groups is where I'm, the direction I'm going to go. But at first, I just need to go share with people. So the whole first year I was there, I was going out to the village with, as part of the church, they have a children's sponsorship program. So if you've ever heard of Compassion, or even I think our church supports a couple kids to get education and make sure they have food and healthcare. And so that's what our church started doing, and they started finding sponsors for children in the area, and the children were coming to kids' church. We'd go pick them up, and it grew and grew and grew. And by the time I got there, there was about 8 people who were caseworkers or social workers, basically, who were Cambodian and would go out to the villages and help the families with, all right, what are your basic needs? Are the kids getting fed? All right, how can we'll put you in a food program if they're not getting fed? Okay, they're getting fed, but they're not getting able to go to school, because education is not free there. So maybe we can help pay for school, or we can help with a uniform. What are the needs? So the social workers were out there once a week with each family, working through issues and trying to figure out how to meet needs. And I came into the picture, and I was like, well, let's share about Jesus too. Because the kids are hearing, but the families still were not hearing, and the parents were not hearing. And even though they're getting really, really blessed by the church, they weren't getting the gospel. And I was like, really, for my heart, without the transformation of Jesus Christ, there is no breaking out of the cycle of poverty. It has to come from Jesus and the mindsets that change and how he transforms our lives, just giving us wisdom and just being there with us. And no matter where you're at, whether you're rich or poor, you need Jesus. So that's where I was at. Let's go share about Jesus. And the first year, I just trained the social workers to share their testimonies and to share about Jesus, to pray with people. And then last year, when we went back, we were able to bring a whole bunch of audio Bibles, because they're illiterate. And so learning more about Jesus means either coming to church and hearing about it, or that was about it. That was the option. And many of them couldn't leave their homes because they needed to work 7 days a week. They worked 7 days a week, always, all day long. And so we brought these audio Bibles, and I wasn't sure how they'd be received, but I was hopeful. And immediately when I started giving them out, they were received so well. I found out they would listen to them day and night, especially at night, because they don't have TVs or anything else to do. So, and they don't come with headphones, so they're just on. And everybody in the house and maybe their neighbors' houses also get to hear the Bible. And so all of a sudden, there was this interest in, wow, I can learn more about Jesus. I've never gone to school before. I've never been able to really learn anything. But now I have an audio Bible, and I can kind of learn about Jesus. So I was like, well, do you want to meet together once a week and we can just talk about Jesus more and answer questions? Because a lot of them were like, yeah, we have the Bible. I don't really understand it. It's like a lot. So I was like, all right, let's meet. And so we started doing small groups. And within the first couple months of being back, well, we had like 3 pop up. And then I was like, okay, no more for now. I just need to take care of these 3. And then, so now we have 5 going on. And so we went from just no knowledge of God to now we have audio Bibles to now we can meet together and discuss what we're learning from the audio Bibles and what we're learning from people's testimonies and how this applies to our lives. And then I wanted to take it a step further. About 2 months ago, right after the intro video was made, I was like, we're going to introduce the Bible. So here we go of really doing a Bible study and really going into it. So before that, it was like, it sounded more like class to them, and they're adults. These are adults and grandparents, and that just sounded weird because they'd never gone to class. And so we mostly would start with testimonies and playing games, and let's just do life together. And so it was time to go deeper. And Eddie had developed a course in a study of the book of James that was very easy to understand. It was culturally it just worked with just read a couple, like a verse, and then there's a question, and we can all discuss. And so he came up with this, and I was able to teach it to the social workers who were leading these groups. And so they're doing it, and we did it for about 2 months, and it was so amazing. It was so amazing. I loved it because then it really started going from head knowledge to this is how we apply the Word of God. This is how we apply. And the Word of God is so powerful in transforming, because that's my heart, is what we're talking about today. This encounter with God that leads to transformation. And seeing them, encountering the Holy Spirit through reading the Bible and through the Bible studies and the small groups. And now it's like it leads to transformation. So we gave you guys bracelets.
So we have a picture of the woman who made them?
Yeah, this is a small group. This is during small group, while somebody else was sharing.
So Bethany invited me to come to the small group one day. And I made a vow to myself, I wouldn't go into the village until I learned the language, because I love village ministry.
It's so
in Cambodia, it's so fun. Because, I mean, imagine you walk into a village, everyone's kind of just sitting around doing nothing, and all they want to do is hang out and get to know you. I mean, I feel so special in that environment. Like, oh, you want to talk to me? Oh, good. You know, I love making friends, so it's so fun for me. But I know what happened is I would stop studying, and I would use translators. And I didn't want to do that, so I made a commitment I wouldn't do it. And Bethany said, hey, Eddie, we're going to introduce the Bible for the first time, and the caseworkers are nervous. They've got a little bit of fear. Can you come, and you introduce it, and I'll translate for you? Okay. So I come out, and I'm like, hey, guys, we're going to learn the Bible. And they're like, okay. But they don't have teeth, so they're like, okay. and I'm like, it's going to be great. And then I thought about it for a second. I said, who in here has ever read a book? And nobody had. And I said, all right, how do you know what's wrong and right in life? How do you make the decision wrong and right? And they thought about it for a while, and they all looked at Bethany, and they said, she tells us. And I said, oh, okay. I said, why do you like what she says? And they said, because it sounds good in our heart. And I said, that's because the Holy Spirit is speaking to you through Bethany. And he has a thing called the Bible. And actually, it's not a book. It's actually just words that people speak to each other. It wasn't even written until recently, but it's meant just to be listened to and thought about. So you get to listen to it and think about it, and you're going to see your life transform as the Holy Spirit speaks to you more. You're going to see changes happen to the way you see your family. You're going to see changes happen to the way you see yourself, the way you see the world around you, your country. It's going to start to change you because it's God's words bringing, and the Holy Spirit come together. It's God's words bringing life to you. And you're going to listen to it and think about it, and it's going to transform you. And they're like, really? So, yeah, it happens to me every day. Like, all right, let's do it. So they get into it. And as Bethany's teaching this class or this group, you know, they just have everyday life. It's just everyday life for them. You know, it's like sit down and hang out. And they actually make these bracelets that you guys got. These are made during the Bible study. The women, they just sit down and they weave it together and they talk about and they listen to the Word of God and they think about the ideas. They listen to the Bible and they listen and they think about the ideas, and the Holy Spirit is transforming them as they make their bracelets. So these bracelets are gifts to you.
This is their job. They sell them for a living. They're doing what
they
do.
We bought them.
They do, yeah.
Like, for a really good price. $5 a bracelet, no pressure. No, not really. we want you to have them because in the heart of the Pentecost, where the Holy Spirit came and transformed lives, what did we see happen as the result? Was it tongues of fire happened every day after that? No, that's the only mention there. It was amazing, though. I love the signs and wonders. Was it the speaking in tongues? You know, to me, the tongues is more about it's for the Holy Spirit's for everyone. But the apex, the most important thing that happens, I think, at the very end in Acts 2:38, is it says this. Every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad. See, God wants you to be happy. Glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people. And the Lord added to their number daily those who are being saved. This is what I imagine I want for my country. I want people meeting together gladly. Not because they feel like I'm going to be spiritual now and I'm going to read the Bible and oh, look how holy I am. But because I want to be your friend. I want you to be my friend. And I want to experience God with you. I want to experience God in my family, in my work, in my city, in my country, everywhere I am. I want to see the Holy Spirit moving. And I want to see that daily getting added to Him and what He does. Doesn't that sound awesome?